Buckle up for a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We actually have an interview today, another interview from short. Is it a short film?
It is a short film. Day short one film competition. Short film.
Day one short film called Wilbert Wire with Ricky Townsend. How's it going, Ricky?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, thank you.
Well, I reckon we'll just kick it off straight away. So your film Wilbert Wire coming out in a couple
4th of September.
4th of September, so next week maybe. How are you feeling about the reception to the audience? I know we talked off air about kind of nerves about doing it in front of an audience. So how are you feeling towards that?
I'm actually feeling pretty good, pretty excited. It's been a project that we've been working on for months, and I wrote the script back in like 2022 actually, so it's ages ago. So it's strange that's finally going to be out there with an audience, and so it's like I'm nervous, but kind of like an excited nervousness, you know. You finally get to share something, and it's kind of out of your hands, and it's for other people to see. So it is really exciting. So yeah. I'm really stoked to have it out there.
100%, and that'll be a great feeling when you get to see it on screen and in person, and like see all the reactions from the audience.
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, I've kind of had it a little bit before in cinemas, but not one as big as the one at Hollywood Avondale. I've not actually been there before, but apparently it's quite a big space, so it's going to be quite exciting. And to see all the other shorts too, because I've not actually seen the other shorts just yet. We get the full surprise, just like everyone else. So I'm real stoked to see how all the other teams have gone.
That's pretty cool. You can see also mingle with some other filmmakers that are kind of in the same kind of boat as you are.
Kind of younger
filmmakers for sure.
So we bring everyone up. So they kind of brought all the filmmakers up to Auckland throughout the stages of making it. So we've all got the chance to meet each other. We've heard about the projects. We've seen little snippets. So we're all kind of in it together, which is really cool. So it's like a bit. We're really like it's a filmmaking fun hour. Like we're all here together making our little films, and we finally get to share it with everyone. So it's I think we're all in the same boat, but in a great way, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome that you is it the New Zealand Film Commission that's doing it? Is it that's running the event, is it?
So it's through Day One Shorts, funded through a few funders such as New Zealand On Air, Whakata Māori, and there was a couple others as well. I can't remember at the top of my head, but there were two other funders as well. I can go up and check them, but there's a few funding.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
That's real awesome and real positive to see getting that support.
What was the process like behind getting involved with Day One for you?
Yeah, it was, well, because the way Day One works is you, and they're actually doing submissions, so if anyone there listening wants to get
nice
a short film made, you can submit to, it's on their website, just search Day One Shorts. But you, if you have an idea for a story, you get a director and a producer and a writer together, you have a script and you pitch it to them, and then they shortlist that down to, when we were doing it, it was a group of 16 sort of projects, and they narrowed that down to 8. And they funded 5 narrative shorts and then 3 documentaries. And so then we're given a budget to actually make our films. And we have a few trips to Auckland to kind of workshop ideas, meet the other filmmakers. But we're given a lot of creative freedom as well, because it's about young voices, right? And in Aotearoa, and really championing that and empowering that, and that's kind of the idea. So you get a lot of room to explore what your vision of storytelling is, and what you have to say as an artist, and that's a big part of it. And it's an absolute pleasure to be able to do that, to have that sort of freedom. Was wonderful.
Nice. And Wilbert Wire, story of a robot art student who is kind of, othered by his human peers in the art class when he is tasked to create a painting about love. Where did the inspiration come from for that?
Well, I was doing a drama sock show back at UC, and I was backstage during a show of Hamlet. So I was backstage for a very long time. Because it was one of those roles you can't do a bit, and you're kind of hanging out for a bit. And I was like, I need to pass the time, and so I just wrote this little script. But I've explored a lot in the past in general around the autistic experience and what that means for me personally. And one of the things I got really interested in is the association and the tropes there is with autisticness in media and sort of roboticness. Whether you have sort of like Spock from, you know, Star Trek, or you have the more less literal idea with, you know, Sherlock Holmes and all that. And I kind of liked the idea of taking that trope and flipping it on its head, because I think a lot of the stigma around the trope, to me, isn't the existence of the trope itself, but the fact that autistic voices have never really been able to claim it for ourselves. And that was kind of the story. Let's take a robot character. Let's just take this trope and see what happens. Let's question the assumptions underneath it. You know, why can't a robot love? You know, what? And that's sort of what inspired the story of Wilbert. Yeah.
Nice. Was that an art teacher in the film? She's very, very art teacher-esque, I would say, based off of anyone in particular, or just an all-round experience of art teachers?
I think it's definitely an all-round experience, and I don't. I say that to, I said to be different. No, all my art teachers were great. And of course, the DOP was actually my former film lecturer, and he's wonderful to work with, which was quite surreal to have your old lecturer
be
the DOP, which is quite funny. But he was great. But there was definitely a sense, especially because I went through a fine arts school, of always feeling too fine arts for film and then not artsy enough for fine arts. I was kind of in this awkward in between where there's always a sense of the art you're making is not what art's supposed to be. You're always sort of missing the point, the essence of art making. And I think a lot of that to me stemmed from my autisticness, that art, I use art in a very specific way, and I create in a very analytical way. So I have a very specific meaning, which never really fit what was expected of me in a lot of institutions. And so that kind of sparked the story of a character who he knows what he's setting out to make. Like Wilbert knows what love is. At least I feel that from the first frame. And when you see that, you'll see he knows what it means. But he's in an institution that's decided he doesn't, because they're not doing it the way they've decided it should be. And that, to me, is the tension of the story. And that's a tension I've definitely experienced a lot personally. And I wanted to kind of put that onto screen. And not necessarily to give a solution to it, but just to observe it and acknowledge it.
And let
people watching it sort of decide what to make of it.
There is that amazing miming scene in it, which is just so impressive to watch. Was it difficult to film that kind of thing, of a character fully miming out this action sequence almost?
It was almost in some ways challenging to pitch, I think, because it's one where, especially in script form, it's something where when you see it, it just makes perfect sense. It's completely intuitive. But when you write it in a script, it's like it's so difficult to explain it. And so, because it's such a specific thing, it was very inspired from like Mr. Bean, Buster Keaton, that very old cinema. There's kind of a lot of film history to it, but I wanted something that was fun, that shows Wilbert's sort of creative process and him being in his own space that's engaging. We can play along with it. And one thing we helped with pitching the project is we actually did a proof of concepts. We shot that whole scene. It was just me, Josiah, who plays Wilbert, and a camera, and we had someone come in helping with some devising ideas. And we just kind of made the scene like theater. There was no storyboard. There was no real plan other than the script. We just played with ideas and we figured out what the scene was. So when we shot it for real, we were actually just remaking it almost shot for shot.
Nice.
But it really helped. Like, we knew it made everything work well. We knew what we were making, and the crew got to see it. So it means everyone knew what we were making, because when you're filming it, it's strange. It's just Josiah miming, and I'm kind of occasionally yelling cues at him from the side. It's very strange when you're filming it, but you just have to trust the process and trust that it works.
And the color grading switches up a couple different times throughout, which I found really interesting. What was the kind of artistic reasoning behind that one?
I think that was partly, I think it was just to give a clear visual hint that it's kind of, we're sort of entering this new space and realm, because it is so implied in the sound design. We kind of wanted some hint that's like, now we're in this simulation space that kind of fits this Wild West kind of world. And it was definitely, it wasn't something that was strictly planned. It was something we kind of had ideas of, but it was only when I was in the grading suite. So Irina, our colorist, so she worked away at it, and we kind of just tried it. We were like, let's see what happens. It may not work at all, but it worked really nicely. And we just had to make sure it timed with the music. Like, it had to all feel very succinct, so you don't even fully think about it when you're seeing it. It just had to feel intuitive. It just has to feel like it makes sense.
Because it is, I'd say there's lots of props, there's lots of actors, even though they are just, you know, kind of extras in the background, involved. What was the physical production side of things like, outside of that scene?
I mean, it was I mean, honestly, I think filming it was a joy, really. I mean, every scene had its challenge and had its fun. I mean, the extras was one of those things where they were all wonderful. It was one of those things where I think my producers, Ella and Joseph, were a little anxious beforehand because we didn't know. We'd never worked with many extras before. We didn't know what it was going to be like or
yeah,
if people would be there on schedule, but they were all wonderful and they were all so onto it. And because they had to be aware of continuity, right? If they put their hand up at one point, they had their hand up at the same point. So in the edit, we don't have all these issues, but they're all really onto it and very patient and very open just the experience of it. So it was, you know, like there's never just extras. Extras are always just as important. And they were very much part of the scene. It helped with Josiah and Kathleen, who plays the art teacher. I think having people there to interact with, I think really helped set a tone. And it was fun 2 days that day.
Nice. And what is next for you after this?
That's such a big... I mean, on October, we're planning to release another project. So I spent about 3 years filming a big sci-fi anthology feature film called The Bushroom Scenario. So that's why I made when I was in fine arts. I just kind of lost my mind a bit and made this wacky movie. It's very like anthology. It's like a Primer meets Donnie Darko meets Doctor Who. It's very wacky and weird and with a noirish flair.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and we had a big sort of genre run. So it was in Boston Sci-Fi. It was in the Phoenix Film Festival and Glitchcat in Spain. It got a couple awards at Miami Sci-Fi, so which we're really stoked by, just very sort of community-driven genre festivals, and now we're planning to bring it back to Aotearoa and share it with a local audience. So we'll be doing a lot more stuff around that too. But it's really that and sharing more the wire, getting out there as well, and just we've made all the stuff, and now we want to share it with the world.
Yeah, super exciting stuff. Thanks so much for coming on, Ricky. It's September 4th, so next week when the films get released. Do you want to tell listeners all the various different platforms where they can find them?
It'll be on Facebook, it will be on YouTube and Insta. I believe it'll also be on TikTok. I could be wrong. I think it is on TikTok. I'm going to say it's on TikTok. I'm sure it will
I'm
be.
I'm pretty it'll sure. Be, yeah, I think it's on TikTok as well. On TikTok. It's TikTok, Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be everywhere. But you know, search Day One Shorts, Wilbert Wire. If you're on Insta or Facebook, you can find our stuff on Interframe Pictures. We're sharing all that for Wilbert Wire and Bostrom Scenario, so it'll all be there, and we'll be spamming it everywhere for everyone to see. So make sure to don't miss out.
And make sure
and you see other shorts too.
Yes, and make sure you check out Ricky's next big feature-length sci-fi epic, it sounds like. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for choosing a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are more just like this at r1.co.nz.